came across the other day some letters that were written by children to their pastor. I thought I would share a few of those with you today. Dear Pastor, please say in your sermon, Peter Peterson has been a good boy all week. I am Peter Peterson. Sincerely, Pete, age 9. Dear Pastor, are there any devils on earth? I think there may be one in my class. Carla, age 10. Dear Pastor, I know God loves everybody, but he never met my sister. Yours sincerely, Arnold, age 8. Dear Pastor, my mother is very religious. She goes to bingo at church every week, even if she has a cold. Yours truly, Annette, age 9. Dear Pastor, I think a lot more people would come to your church if you moved it to Disneyland. Laureen, age 9. Dear Pastor, please say a prayer for our Little League team. We need God's help or a new pitcher. Thank you. Alexander, age 10. Dear Pastor, how does God know the good people from the bad people? Do you tell him, or does he read about it in the newspapers? Sincerely, Marie, age 9. Dear Pastor, I liked your sermon on Sunday, especially when it was finished. Ralph, age 11. And finally, dear Pastor, my father should be a minister. Every day he gives us a sermon about something. Robert, age 11. I wish I could say that I was the recipient of those letters, because they had put a smile on my face and it would have been fun to be the pastor in those. I have not actually received any notes along those lines. I have received plenty a card or a poster from the children in this congregation and other congregations, and they have touched my heart. None of them maybe that humorously honest. I want to talk to you a little bit today about children. And I want to first recognize that I think in many ways what I have to say could be akin to preaching to the choir. But preaching to the choir is an okay thing, don't you think? Right? I think it's good for us to be reminded of those things that we might even be reminded of somewhat regularly, or even haven't been reminded of for a while, but when we hear it, it makes sense. And so I want to talk to you today about the importance, the utter need of children in the body of Christ. The place, the important place that they play, and in particular, when that comes to Christ Memorial Presbyterian Church. It brings a huge smile to my face. I don't know if you notice it. I hope that you do. Each Sunday, when we invite the children forward, and there's this mass exodus from the pews of these little heads I may not have seen prior to that, and to see the kind of crowd that often gathers up front with us as we have that moment with children, it is an incredible blessing for us here at Christ Memorial to have so many children involved in the life of our church. And that obviously goes beyond Sunday mornings when we have the moment with children. It goes to when they're in Sunday experience or in Logos or when we have the picnics or other fellowship events or you name it, one after another. The children in our midst bring so much to us because they are indeed such a gift from God, because we serve and worship and love a God who is a God of children. Indeed, the scriptures remind us time and time again that regardless of our age, each one of us is a child of God. God has a very clear love for children that runs throughout the scriptures. We have two of those examples today in our Old Testament scripture and in our gospel scripture. We have this text from Deuteronomy when God is laying out the commandments for God's people, the law that will set the Israelites apart as those who are blessed, cared for, and loved, created by God. We have what is perhaps the holiest of all texts for the Israelites, or what would become so, and within the Jewish tradition, the Shema, the Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. And just before that and just after that, we have references to children. For it says in the verses leading up to the verse that we had read this morning that these commands are for you, the people of Israel, and for your children and for your children's children. And then even in the text itself says today, hear the Lord your God, the Lord is one. The main commandment, the number one commandment for you that Jesus would utter again when he was asked later. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your might. The number one commandment, you shall keep this commandment, and then immediately, right after the command to keep that commandment, you must share it with your children and with your children's children. It was so important, it continues to be so important, for the people of Israel to pass the good news that God had given to them of life and life abundant, even within the law of God, in a full and true understanding of it, onto their children and onto their children's children, from one generation to the next, to the next, to the next. And we are heirs of that promise. And we are heirs of those who took seriously the call that God placed on their lives to share that news, to share those commandments from the very beginning with their children and with their children's children. We are those children, each one of us. Each one of us a child of God whose parents or grandparents or aunts and uncles or friends, whoever it was, took seriously the call to share the good news of Jesus Christ with us. And Jesus Christ himself, the Jewish rabbi that he was, the teacher, while he was on his way to the cross, in this part of Mark's gospel, we know that Christ has set his face towards Golgotha. He knows what lies ahead for him. He's on his mission to death, a death and a resurrection that will save the world. And he continues to teach and to preach to the people who show up in droves to hear what he has to say, who bring the sick so that he might touch them and heal them. And as he marches towards that cross, some parents come and bring their children along. We have no indication that these children were sick. They simply wanted them to be blessed by Jesus. And he had enough going on, right? On his heart and on his mind as he was making his way to the cross, as he was healing people and teaching. And so the disciples tried to keep those children away. There was enough for Jesus to do. It's not that he doesn't like kids, but you know, he's got more important things to do. And Jesus stops them there and says, no, you can't keep them from coming to me. And it could have been easy enough for Jesus just to do what the parents asked him to do in that moment, just to place his hand on them, say a simple word of blessing, and to move on. But that's not what Jesus does. Jesus takes the children and he draws them in close, and he teaches all of the adults who are standing around him with all of their ideas about who God is and what God wants and what the world is and how God works in the world. And he uses those children to teach those people a very important lesson. For he says to them, these are the first in the kingdom of God. If you do not receive the kingdom of God like these, then you will not receive it. These children, these are the ones who you should emulate. These are the ones through whom comes the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ in this moment. Important to note that both Matthew and Luke also record this encounter in their own way. It touched the hearts and the minds of the people so much that has been handed down century after century for 2,000 years through the Holy Scriptures to us today. And what do we draw from it? We draw the utter importance of the children in our lives and in our midst. How they, for us, are more than just something to admire, something to laugh at from time to time because of what they have to say. They are, for us, a glimpse of the kingdom of God and how to enter that kingdom of God. Nothing short of that. For if we do not receive the kingdom of God as a child would, we will not receive the kingdom of God. And so it is utterly impossible, I would say, to be the church of God and of Jesus Christ without fully embracing the children in the body and in the family. They are a great gift to us. And we often talk in terms of how the children are the future for us and for the church. And that is certainly true. But if we overlook the fact that they are also very much a part of the present, then we miss a big part of what the gospel has to tell us through Jesus Christ's words himself, of how they signal for us what it means to be faithful, to be receptive of the love that God has for us in Jesus Christ, to open ourselves to the kingdom of God in our midst, right here and right now. And so we have this great treasure among us. And with that great treasure then comes great responsibility. And I must say, we do a really good job of tending to the children in our midst. You can tell just by looking at them. They wouldn't be here if they didn't want to be. They wouldn't smile when they're here if they didn't want to be here. They wouldn't say what Marin said about having a home, about having friends, if that wasn't true here. And so, yes, we're on to something good. But the thing about being on to something good is you have to stay on top of it or you lose it. Right? We can't ever feel like, oh, we finally made it in terms of being a church that is all about children in our midst. We have to continually commit over and over again to tending to that treasure that is in our midst, to tending to those children, to sharing, as I often challenge you when we have a baptism, the old stories of Jesus and his love with them so that they know and their children know and their children know. Because we were children once too. And someone shared the good news of the gospel with us. Maybe it was our mother or our father or our grandmother or grandfather or anyone. It could have been a person in the church that was totally unrelated to us, but opened our eyes and our hearts to who Jesus Christ is and what Jesus Christ wants for us. And now we have the privilege and the responsibility of being that person for a new generation and a new generation. In a new generation. We are continually blessed to gather around this font over and over again here at Christ Memorial and to welcome children, youth, adults alike into the body. What a joy and privilege that is, but with it comes the great responsibility. And as we look to our future, and as we are in this season in particular, where we are turning our focus to what it means to be stewards of the gifts that God has given to us, I challenge you to think about what that means for our children. What it means to continue to care for this place that we call Christ Memorial Presbyterian Church on behalf of the youngest among us, so that they might too have what we have benefited from for all of these years and continue to benefit from. As we look to the future, as we look in particular to our growth and expansion, to the expansion of our facilities and what that will require of each one of us, not just for the short term, but for the long haul. Let us do that with an eye towards the children in our midst, knowing that God loves those children, knowing that Christ welcomed and continues to welcome those children into his midst, and then turns to us and points to them and says, these are the ones that you should imitate. Not the Pharisees or the scribes or all those other adults who think they get it all right and know they have all the answers. But these children, with their humility and their wonder and their joy, with their exuberance, that is the call that we have as the body of Christ with the children in our midst, to tend to them and to this place so that our children and our children's children may come to know and come to trust the love that we have come to know and trust in Jesus Christ. That is our challenge this day and every day that lies ahead of us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.